Kent Bazemore joins us on Sports Byline. Look for him in the NBA. He's one of the young and up-and-coming players in the National Basketball Association with the Golden State Warriors, and after going undrafted out of Old Dominion. You know, Kent, I was thinking about you this afternoon, and I thought some people would say you're a survivor, and others would say you're an overachiever. How would you describe yourself?
I definitely say I would label myself a survivor because, you know, going undrafted and then, you know, surviving another draft this year where we didn't have any draft picks, but we made moves to, you know, move guys around and to be in a Warriors uniform, you know, as of today with all the moves made around the organization, you know, I just consider myself blessed.
You know, on draft day, I'm just wondering, what is it like for a player who believes in himself, had a good college career, mm-hmm. and then has to sit around and watch other names being called?
You know, as a competitor, it's kind of like bittersweet. You know, you see some of your friends go and see some of the guys you know get drafted, and then you see guys that, you know, you torch your whole college career go, and you kind of like, man, you know, why not me? But, you know, at the end of the day, it's more so for your family. You know, your family see your highlights on TV, or, you know, your Twitter feed's blowing up, your mom and dad get to see your name called. But, you know, after that, after your name's called and you out playing, you know, it's mano y mano. It's about who won it. So the draft is definitely different for me now, you know, not being drafted. So, I mean, I didn't even watch it this year. So, I mean, that's how.
I've got a quote here from you. You said, I've had my back against the wall my entire life coming out of high school. I got a few Division I offers, but they were mid-major, a lot of D2 offers, you know, just along lanky kid from Kelford, North Carolina. Take me back to Kelford, North Carolina, and growing up there.
Kelford was definitely, you know, humble upbringings. You know, kids raised by a village. You know, I had aunts, uncles, cousins. You know, people everywhere on every corner that you know, would get on me if I messed up. That's how my mom was. She would tell everybody, like, you see them messing around, you know, get them. So I would get the weapons by, you know, pretty much anybody at any time. And you know, so that really kept me out of trouble. I knew I couldn't go over here and act up because I knew they would be on me. So just about, I think in the last census in 2007, I think we had like 226 people there. You know, so you know, I graduated with 224 people from high school. So, I mean, I'm really, you know, intimate, you know, with people. Like going back home, it's like I go back home and it's like everyone's together. I know everybody, you know, and it's great and it's a blessing and it definitely helped me out now.
What's a good time on a Friday night in Kelford, North Carolina?
Man, smacking mosquitoes and spraying off spray. That's all we do.
When did basketball come into your life?
I've been playing since I was four, but, you know, I was a football kid growing up. I always wanted to play football. Then I had this crazy growth spurt from, like, 5'9 to 6'1", and I was, like, 150 pounds maybe, so football went out the window. You know, it took me too long to recover, you know, sitting home sore all week. You know, I was like, man, I can't do this. So I picked up basketball and started running track. And in high school, you know, I was all state in basketball and track. So.
How did you end up at Old Dominion?
John Richardson is an alma mater from Bertie High School. You know, he went to Elizabeth City State, played there, and then he got a coaching job at Old Dominion. And he just happens to drive home for, you know, our Bertie Herford County game, which is a big rival game where everyone comes back. And, you know, I have a pretty good outing. And it just so happens that he went to school with my mom. So they were like, oh, yeah, yeah, how you doing? How you been? And my mom's like, yeah, that's my son right there. And I'm out there, you know, tearing it up. He's like, oh, God, you know, I'm going to keep an eye out on him. And, you know, he, you know, introduced me to Blaine Taylor, who's a great guy, by the way. You know, Blaine Taylor has some ties out here. He coached at Montana, coached at Stanford with Mike Montgomery. So, great guy. And then he offered me a scholarship and gave me an opportunity to chase his dream.
In the early years, in your high school years, was there a coach that was influential with you?
Yeah, all my coaches in high school, because they would talk so much trash. Like, hey, man, you really want to – because everyone knew I wanted to play in the NBA. Like, everybody knew. Like, I was all for it, but – you know, they would push me. You know, I would be their examples. Like, if they wanted to get on somebody in their practice, they would always come to me. Like, I mean, I could be doing nothing to anyone, and they'll come jump on me. I mean, just being like, they're a little guy that they wanted to push and see succeed. You know, it was great for me because, you know, they got every inch of energy out of me. They always pushed me through a threshold or through a wall. You know, whenever I was down or down and out, you know, they would encourage me, you know, like, hey, man, just keep working. It's all I heard ever. It's all I ever heard was keep working.
Blaine was your coach at Old Dominion. And tell me a little bit about him and how he kind of molded you at that stage of your game.
You know, coming out of Bert T. High, you know, I was, you know, the best player in my area, but the level of basketball, the level of competitiveness wasn't that good, you know. So I got to college and, you know, on my visit, he sat me down and wrote out a depth chart. And it clearly said that I was like the fifth shooting guard, you know, there. So, which meant I would have to sit out a year. You know, other schools weren't really talking about that. Like, you had to come here and sit out. But for me, he broke it down like, hey, look, you sit out a year and then you'll have 40 more years to play. So you either can, you know, basically said you can be selfish and, you know, swallow your pride and go somewhere and play now, or you can develop, you know, and be the player I can see you be. And in your fifth year, you will love this situation. So end up red shirt and had a great career. And, you know, my fifth year was, you know, probably, you know, one of my best years.
I would assume, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, Kent, that there's a lot of pressure on kids who grow up in Carolina. I mean, it's Tobacco Road. Yeah. It's North Carolina, NC State. Yeah. It's Duke and everything. Is there a measuring stick for kids in that state that might be different if somebody played basketball and was a pretty good player in Montana or Missouri?
Oh, yeah, definitely. All the good players from North Carolina. Well, I remember when I was coming up, you know, if you didn't go to Carolina or Duke or Wake Forest or NC State in Carolina, you weren't really, you know, that guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you got to go out of state to play basketball, you weren't really that good to begin with. So, I mean, growing up here in North Carolina, NC State, you know, I kind of, like, would root against them. Like, I always wanted to beat those teams because those guys always had that stature about them. Like, hey, I go to Carolina. I grew up in Carolina, so I'm going to Carolina, which means, you know, this state is mine. Like, I killed it. So, me going to Old Dominion, going out of state, you know, really kind of, like, pushed me away from that and not work, you know, because my team was a mid-major. You know, when I got there, they had went to the tournament like once before, and, you know, when I left, you know, we won a few times, we won a few championships. So, I mean, that was the type of statement I was trying to make.
I know over the years when I've had a chance to talk to a pro basketball player, I always like to ask them about the summer game, because that's where you're smiling now.
Oh, yeah.
That's where the game is really a lot of fun. There's 10 guys, 5 shirts, mm-hmm. 5 skins, mm-hmm. 95 degrees, 95% relative humidity,
yeah.
And they're going at it. Tell me a little bit about your experiences of the summer game.
Growing up, you know, the summer was my favorite time of the year. Everyone comes home from college, or everyone comes home from whatever they were doing, and, you know, we would just have, you know, big, huge basketball games all the time, and it gets competitive, you know. It, like, I was from Kelford, you know, we would play against guys from Lewiston, Orlando, Ahoski. You know, it even got to the point where, like, we would take 5 or 6 guys and drive, you know, an hour up the street to Greenville, North Carolina, and play at East Carolina. So, I mean, that's like the best time of the year. It's like the most competitive, and it's where you actually grow as a player, because, you know, you're not actually just playing basketball. You're playing for your town, you know, you're playing for your rights, you know, wherever you stay, you know, you're playing for Bert T. County. You're just playing for, like, everything, and it's just like added fuel to the fire.
Al Addles with the Warriors organization. He and I were talking. We were talking about the legends of the playground, and yet some of them, many of them, don't even make it to the NBA. I think of Helicopter Herman out of New York and others like that. And I asked him why, and he said because they can't play organized, disciplined basketball. Yeah. Can you get into some bad habits playing the playground game, the street game?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, you see a lot of guys that, like, the whole and-one movement, when I was coming up, when I was young, you know, everybody wanted to go between the legs 75 times and shoot a jumper. But that doesn't really correlate to the NBA game of basketball. Like some of the younger guys now, you know, that go to school for 1 year and come out, you know, they struggle because they don't really know how to play the game of basketball. You know, I went to school for 5 years in a very intricate, you know, offense. You know, Blaine ran UCLA cuts. You know, he ran some Princeton stuff, you know, so I had to learn the game, had to learn how to set screens, had to learn how to read screens, had to learn how to be in certain spots, which correlated well for me in the NBA. You know, I think I would have a better pro career than I will college because I understand a lot more now. I understand court space, and I understand where to be when, you know, when my guy's driving down the baseline, you know, baseline drive, baseline drip. Some of those things I didn't really know in college. So a lot of young guys coming to the league, you know, like 18, 19, 20-year-olds that went to school and just played off, you know, straight talent. But now it's like you got to play within the system. You know, it's a game within a game within a game. You know, if my man's driving at me and my defender's looking at him, I know the back door cut, you know, not run to the ball. You know, it, just small things like that that these guys don't really know, and it's going to take time for them to, you know, really understand the game of basketball.
Upcoming and very talented young man with the Golden State Warriors, Kent Bazemore, is with us in the studio. He came out of Old Dominion, and he also has not one degree but two degrees, and you don't hear about athletes, particularly professional athletes, that finish school. I'm going to ask to him why he decided to get the academic direction as well. And we'll talk about the Golden State Warriors, some of his teammates, a very talented young team. And I'm also going to ask him about his mother, because I've always found that mothers have a great influence on athletes. So we'll do that as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline.